I noticed that we had coffee out there this morning. Don't linger out there too long. Okay, I'd like to introduce to you our theme speaker for the week, Reverend Dr. Tandeka. Her bio was in the brochure. I'd just like to highlight a few of those things, and we'll get started right away. Tandeka is a visiting scholar at the Center for Process Studies at Claremont School of Theology for this academic year. She's the founder of Affect Theology, which investigates the links between religion and emotion using insights from affective neuroscience. She has written numerous books. Tandeka's current book project is Affect Theology, Returning Rational Theology to Its Senses. Tandeka's numerous publications and journals include essays in American Journal of Theology and Philosophy, International Journal of Practical Theology, Harvard Theological Review, and Process Studies and Tektikon. Tandeka has taught at San Francisco State University, Meadville Lombard Theological School, Williams College, Harvard Divinity School, and Brandeis University, and has been a fellow at the Stanford Humanities Center at Stanford University, and visiting scholar at the Union Theological Seminary in New York. Before receiving her doctorate in philosophy of religion and theology from the current Claremont Graduate School, Tandeka was an Emmy Award-winning television producer for 16 years. An ordained Unitarian Universalist minister and theologian, she was given the name Tandeka, which means beloved, by Archbishop Desmond Tutu in 1984. I give you Reverend Dr. Tandeka.
This morning, because we are Unitarian Universalists. And we are here because we love being Unitarian Universalists together. So, why are we here? For two reasons. We love being Unitarian Universalists, and we love being Unitarian Universalists together. So here's what you're going to do. Everyone stand up and give yourself a little space between the person to whom you're going to turn, and you're going to say, I love being a Unitarian Universalist. And then you're going to say, I love being a Unitarian Universalist, and then you're going to go like this, with you. Try it once. Unitarian Universalist with you. And the other way around, I love to the other person because you did it to someone who hasn't done it to you yet, right? Reciprocal. I love being a Unitarian Universalist, and I love being a Unitarian Universalist with you. Okay, please. Now, as John Rodeheffer has so wonderfully reminded us in the letter that's on the first page of our summer brochure, he says, these are uncertain times, and for some of us, even scary times. FDR's famous statement, "We have nothing to fear but fear itself," is now apropos for another generation of Americans. I can think of no better way of addressing our fears and uncertainties than attending Summer Institute 2009 and helping celebrate SI's 30th anniversary. Just being a part of such a large UU community is soothing in and of itself. So the question for us this morning is, why is it so soothing? Why is it so comforting to be among Unitarian Universalists? Well, the word soothing is interesting here. Because if something is soothing, that means we're being comforted. And perhaps before we were comforted, we felt discomfort. Fear, shame, agony, doubt. All kinds of emotions that we don't tend to take into account fully within our personal lives. Because as the poet Marianne Moore might say, I thought she was waving, she was drowning. I thought I was waving, I was drowning. Now, I don't know if you're like me, but I have some friends whom when I share a moment of my drowningness, just drowning, right? And my friends tend to be like me, quite intellectual. And there was this one friend in particular in which I would say, well, you know, I don't feel so good today because X just happened. And so she would say, well, let's think about this. And then she'd begin to reflect on it, right? So I would take her hand, put it on my shoulder, and go, there, there. There, there. Try it. There, there. Remember, you can always get a Unitarian Universalist to comfort you. There. Okay, so if we have feelings that need to be comforted, if we need to be nurtured and soothed and healed, the question is, what part of us? Well, obviously, the part that hurts. The parts in which the feelings have been sacked, bagged, broken, dismissed. Now, you might think that I'm using the term bagged metaphorically, but I'm not. Bag. When I was 5 years old, and because I frowned all the time, which was perplexing to my mother since we lived in such a happy household, she called me into the kitchen and she found a small brown paper bag. My mother was an artist. She found a small brown paper bag. And she partially inflated the bag to help me out because I was only 5. Then she put the mouth of the bag to my lips and she said, blow into the bag. Then she took the bag from me. With one hand, held it over her head, and with the other, burst it, and said, Grouch, gone. It became known as the Grouch bag. And so, from that day forward, I always had a smile on my face. Last year in college, when I took 40 sleeping pills and survived, as I walked across the campus and someone said to me, gee, you're always so happy. You always have a smile on your face. How is that? I said, I don't know. I continued to have that smile on my face until I went into 10 years of analysis. Now, I suspect that each and every one of us has a grouch bag story. Find it. Has anyone not found his or her story yet? Great. Turn to the person seated next to you and tell the person your grouch bag story. Each of you will have a minute each way. Let's go. Everyone has to tell a story. If you don't want to share a personal one, make it up so that it seems as if you're not talking about yourself. Let's go. Tell a story. Wrap up your stories. Okay. So, where do we take our grouch bags? We take them to our congregations. Right. And say, oh, she's an old grouch. We don't know this is a compliment, that someone's paying attention to us in the way in which we have been mortally injured by those who love us the most. So we go to our Unitarian, Universalist, congregation, fellowship, society, church, in order to find the emotions that have been bagged because they didn't disappear, they just went into hiding. They didn't disappear, they just got broken. And they hurt. So we go to our Sunday service in order to be healed. Okay, Tandeka, everybody goes to a religious service for the same reason, because we all have grouch bags. So why do we go to a Unitarian Universalist service? This is why we go to a Unitarian Universalist service. And I'll start with a story, two stories actually, and then give you the concept. In 1965, as a second term first year student at the University of Illinois downstate, I took an anthropology course, cultural anthropology. And in one of the sessions, I learned that every single society has a religion, or many religions. And the members of each society think that their religion is absolutely right and absolutely true. So at the end of the class session, I went up to the professor and I said, "You mean every society has a religion?" He said, "Yes." "And each one thinks it's absolutely correct?" He said, "Yes." So I had to go for a long walk. And I reasoned as follows, because now I was in college and of course I could reason quite well. And so I said, if every single religious community thinks that its religious concepts and doctrines and creeds are absolutely true, and yet some of the creeds must contradict the creeds of other religions, then they're self-contradictory, which means that none of them can be true, so I must be an atheist. So I immediately went to the train station, got on the train, and went home to Chicago in the middle of the week. Walked into my father's office. He was a Baptist minister. And my father looked up, it was Wednesday, you know, and tried to be quite calm as he saw his daughter walk into the office on a Wednesday when she should be at school. And he said, "What's up?" And I said, "Well, Dad, I want you to know that now I'm an atheist." And without losing a breath or a beat, he said, "What took you so long?" He said, "2 weeks after I was in college, I became an atheist." And then he said, "But I want you to know that while you're looking around for what you can next believe, you can stand on my shoulders and continue to climb to the sky." And then whenever I would go home for a vacation, if my father had friends over, he would turn to me, my name was Sue then, and he would say, "Sue, would you offer the blessing?" And then wherever I was in my thinking, that's where I would begin. What is life? And I would continue in earnest for 2 or 3 minutes. And then after I finished the thought, the disquisition, I would say, "Amen," and look up very quickly to my father to see him turn to his friend and beam as if to say, "My kid, the thinker." So, when I returned to school, same day on that Wednesday, that Sunday, I went to a Unitarian Universalist church in Urbana, Illinois. Now, why did I go to a UU congregation? One other story will help make this point. My father, I invited him down for Father's Day. Right? University of Illinois, invite your fathers down. All the students invited their fathers down for Father's Day and celebration. And because he'd been a minister, we had moved around quite frequently. And so now, with great courage, I said to him something I had never said to him before. I said, "Dad, I went to 7 schools before I got to high school. And I was very, very lonely." And my father, without losing a beat, said, "You are very fortunate because you learned at an early age that life is existential." It's based on change. That was that. So why did I go to a Unitarian Universalist congregation to retrieve my feelings? One, first, I was no longer self-identified as a Baptist, but I didn't want to be outside of a religious community. But why a Unitarian Universalist religious community? Because we have created an intellectual space of freedom for doctrinal considerations. We have created a mental space of freedom that celebrates different ways of looking at feelings and emotions and what's going on with life. And then to draw from different sources to explain it. So, we as Unitarian Universalists have created an intellectual space of freedom, of doctrinal freedom, so that we can search for our ways of making sense of being in the world religiously. So intellectually, that's why I chose a Unitarian Universalist church. But that's not why I went to a religious service. I went to a religious service because my feelings had been bad, because I was emotionally broken. And I needed a religious community to create an ethos of care and compassion. Every religious community does this for its members. But virtually all of them have attached to it doctrinal claims. Our claim is the intellectual space of freedom to make sense of the spirit of life, the breath of life, the wind of life. And when the entire congregation does this together, so that we are of one breath, that which surrounds us, which is the celebration of life itself, impacts upon our bodies and thus moves us emotionally so that we are all of the same pace, all of the same breath. And I feel this enormous sense of emotional release and regeneration. So that my broken feelings are uplifted, and the uplifted feelings are turned into a Unitarian Universalist religious conviction. Let's look at the way that we do this. Please stand. Let's begin. You know this song. There is more love somewhere. There is more love somewhere. I'm gonna keep on till I find it. There is more love somewhere. Hope! Belt it out! There is more hope somewhere. There is more hope somewhere. Till I find it there. joy.
There is more joy somewhere.
There is more joy somewhere. I'm gonna keep on till I find it.
There is more joy,
peace
somewhere.
Give it all you've got.
There is more peace somewhere.
There is more peace somewhere. I'm gonna keep on till I find it.
There is more peace.
Last one, love.
Somewhere.
Give it everything.
There is more love somewhere.
There is more love somewhere. I'm gonna keep on till I find it. The congregation say amen.
Amen.
Okay. So, we go to a Unitarian Universalist congregation because of the doctrinal freedom to explore the feelings of life itself. Intellectually, that's why we're driven there. But we go there for emotional healing. How does this healing take place? First, because we sing together, which is a breath meditation. By the very end, we're all inhaling and exhaling the same rate. And we stand so that we can take in more oxygen, which literally alters our emotional standpoint. So that by the time we finished singing, we feel better. We emotionally feel better. We can say, oh yes, I wasn't cured, but I'm healed. Or, as one southerner, northerner, was going through the South in the antebellum, during the antebellum period, and he couldn't believe it. Every place he went, he heard the slaves singing in the fields. They were slaves, and they were singing. So finally, baffled, he went up to one of the slaves, and he said, I don't understand. Why are you singing? You're slaves. And the slave said, sir, you do not understand. We do not sing because we are happy. We sing to make ourselves happy. We go to our congregation on Sunday, our fellowships, our societies, in order to make ourselves happy. And we can't do this alone because human salvation is not a solo act. Our soul is not broken by itself and it cannot heal itself. Human salvation is not a solo act. Why we go to a religious service, to have our emotions, our bad, sad, distraught feelings revealed in a safe place, feelings that are too heavy for us to hold alone,
It takes a congregation to hold a broken feeling. Any of you who have raised children or been around children when they're hungry, especially very young children, babies, and they're crying because they're hungry, when you pick them up, they stop crying before they're fed because they feel your love and care and compassion. This is what our congregations do through song, through breath, through the spirit of our lives. Let's, for a moment, pay attention to our breath of life. I would like for you simply to listen to yourself breathe. Listen to your breath. And whenever your mind wanders away, call it back to the sound of your own breathing. And now let us together say, thank you, breath of life. Let's go. Thank you, breath of life. Again. Thank you, breath of life. Once more, like you really mean it, quiet, loud, doesn't matter. Just really mean it. Thank you, breath of life. Thank you, breath of life. Thank you, spirit of life. Thank you, wind of life. Thank you, breath of life, floating over the deep of my own broken feelings into that bag of tricks to renew my own feelings. Thank you, breath of life. Thank you, spirit of life. So in our congregation, in the midst of our breath meditation, we sing praise to the spirit of life.
Thank you.
congregation say, Amen.
Amen.
You have a homework assignment. Actually, it's an assignment for this day. And it's based upon what we've done here this morning. Just to summarize for a moment, we've learned that almost universally, this is to quote the Commission on Appraisal 2005, I think, report that studied our theological diversity. Almost universally, we, Unitarian Universalists, make personal experience the major source of our religious convictions. Again, almost universally, we, Unitarian Universalists, make personal experience the major source of our religious convictions. Personal experience for us as Unitarian Universalists entails three elements. A shift in emotions. Feelings unbagged. An upshift, an uplift of emotions, or the very possibility of experiencing an emotional uplift, which I call a change of heart. This in and of itself is not enough, because we can get this through meds. But it's one element of personal experience, an uplift in feelings, or the very possibility of it. Two, and this is why we're Unitarian Universalists, the mental space of freedom, of doctrinal freedom, to explore various religious traditions and sources in order to make sense of the spirit of life. So, change of heart, doctrinal freedom to explore various traditions so that we can decide individually who we are. And three, an emotional ethos of care and compassion that can only be created by a religious community. When we sing Spirit of Life, when we sing Where There's More Love, when we say Thank You, Breath of Life, and we're all inhaling and exhaling together, the entire ethos becomes a holding tank for our broken feelings, and each of us is raised up into the infinite expanse of life itself. All religious traditions do this. Our difference is that there's the intellectual space of freedom to reflect upon the spirit of life and call it God. Humanity, creation, the universe, goddess, none of the above. So these three elements make us Unitarian Universalists in terms of personal experience. Change of heart, the intellectual freedom, the doctrinal freedom to reflect upon what it means to be healed and regenerated. And a cultural ethos of care and compassion that is created by a community that sings together, that breathes together, that meditates together, so that that entire infinite expanse of the breath of life is now inside of us, which we carry throughout the week. So, here's your assignment. I guarantee you, at some point during this day, and I could be wrong about this, but I think that virtually every person at some point during this day will either bag someone else's emotions or experience your own emotion being bagged, sacked. So here's what I want you to do. Notice when this happens. Notice when an emotion gets bagged. Notice the grouch bag. Not the bag itself, but the person whose emotions have just been bagged. And if you're the person who's just bagged the other person's emotions, you'll say, oh, wow, I just bagged that person's emotions. Or if you've just experienced this, say, gosh, that person just did the grouch bag thing on me. Okay, so that's the first thing. It's very difficult because everything in our culture, virtually everything, teaches us to ignore our emotional realities, except, of course, advertising. Feel bad, huh? Buy this. Okay, so first task. Notice a bagged emotion as it is happening. Second task. Pause. After you've noticed that bagged emotion, pause. This pause is the intellectual foundation of our religious movement. The space of freedom to decide what we're going to do next. How we're going to think about this. How we're going to consider it. Notice the bagged emotion, whether it's yours or someone else, and then pause. Third step. It is now your duty as a Unitarian Universalist to create an ethos of care and compassion for yourself, for the other person. That's it. Someone's going like this. That's it. You have to figure out exactly what you have to do to retrieve the bagged emotion, to heal it, to hold it. And then do it. And then, stand up for a moment, please. This is the hardest part. After you've done it, raise your hand, please. I want you to snap your finger and say, this is why I'm a Unitarian Universalist. Let's try it. This is why I'm a Unitarian Universalist. Now, if you've done a really good job, get bad with it. This is why I'm a Unitarian Universalist. All right. Let the congregation say amen.
Amen.
All right. Talk to you tomorrow or this afternoon at the workshop, during the workshop, in which you can tell us some of the stories about the ways in which you retrieved the bagged emotions and said, this is one Unitarian Universalist. Thank you. Okay. Oh. About Schmidt, Jack Nicholson's movie. It's being right, so be sure to go to it. You don't have to. It will be better if you've seen it, but it's not a requirement. It's just that you'll enjoy the session more.